Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. My boss, Jay Posner, is with me. You guys can't see us. First time all year. We are not doing video, but that's the way it goes. Got a lot of things going on here, Jay, in Arlington, Texas. Trying to find out who the starting pitcher is going to be for game one, for game two. You know, trying to run down players. There's a lot to talk about tonight. I feel like we should start with the pitchers. I can tell you what the options are right now if you'd like to know, Jay.
You know, Kevin, I would like to know what the options are because, like everyone else, I'm very curious and eager and anxious and all those other words to find out how the Padres are going to get through three, four, five games against the best team in baseball during the regular season, during a short playoff series. So where do you want to start? Should we start with Mike Clevinger? Start with Dinelson Lamet? Want to start with Zach Davies? Adrian Morejon? Where do you want to go?
I just wrote this, have not filed it yet because we needed to tape this, but the Padres had Chris Paddock and Mike Clevinger throw bullpens yesterday. That would be Sunday, with the intention that if Mike Clevinger is healthy, he'll start game one. If not, Chris Paddock will start game one. I know that will go
over really well with our audience.
So here's what you need to understand, though. Chris Paddock is going to start a game in this series.
He has to, right?
Yes. So anybody thinking that he wouldn't, I don't know. Maybe they thought that Mackenzie Gore and Ryan Weathers and Luis Perdomo were going to come up and do it. And I don't mean to like make fun or anything like that, but I do know that the sentiment is out there that Chris Paddock maybe shouldn't even be on the roster. And well, that's not where the Padres are at this point. There's not as much optimism that Dinelson Lamet will be healthy for this series. He has played catch 2 days in a row. He played catch today again as we tape this on Monday night. But there is a thought, there is a belief that Mike Clevinger will be on the roster. Now, if he's not, here's what happened. You know, he threw a bullpen 2 days or 1 day before the wild card series and was not able to pitch. He threw it 2 days before this one. And if he's not able to pitch, well, at least, you know, they got a little closer. And then maybe if they make it to the league championship series, then Mike Clevinger and Dinelson Lamet will go. But that's what we know right now.
All right. Well, let me start with Clevinger.
Okay.
Because one thing I looked up today, and just to make sure I had this right, he pitched that great game, the 7-inning shutout, on September the 13th. That was 3 weeks ago yesterday. So by the time we get to Wednesday, you're looking at like 24 days since that game. And I know you know where I'm going here. During that time, in those 24 days, he's pitched one inning. So the question becomes, to me anyway, how effective can a pitcher be having thrown one inning in the last 24 days? How sharp can he be? How much stamina can he have? Are we looking at a guy that might be able to go three or four innings? Seems hard to believe that he'd go seven or something like that, or even be sharp enough to be able to do that. What are you hearing from people in terms of that? That, you know, you'd basically be counting on, and I'm not saying they shouldn't pitch him. I don't think they should take a risk with this guy in any way. And I don't think they would.
Right.
I don't think they would do that. But in respect to, you know, one inning in 24 days, where would somebody like Clevinger be physically, I guess, at that point?
They'll feel fortunate to get five innings out of him. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal that they like is that he's pitched a lot. Okay. Not so much this year, but he is a veteran who knows how to pitch. The Dodgers have not seen him. While he was pitching down at their alternate site and was healthy, he went 3 weeks between starts for the Indians and went six innings, allowed two runs when he came back. It's a different situation. Absolutely. Right. But they're optimistic. That would be obviously their best option. Heck, this is me talking now, but even if it didn't go well, at least they filled some innings because, Jay, this is only one of the hurdles. Five games in 5 days down even one starter would be a big deal. Down three quarters of a starter, which is the scenario we just covered there, would be worse. And obviously, if both of these guys go, I'm telling you what, this series could be a mess for the Padres.
And that's where Chris Paddock comes in, because I do think it's crazy to say that Chris Paddock shouldn't pitch in this series. Paddock has had good starts this year. He's had bad starts this year. I haven't added it up if it's more bad than good, it's obviously people, you remember the bad usually more than the good. Didn't pitch well, obviously, last time. Didn't pitch well against the Dodgers. I'm not sure he's ever had a really good game against the Dodgers.
He had one last year.
One last year. Okay. But there are not a lot of options with this team at this point. And he is, look, he's a major league pitcher. He's got great stuff. Maybe he doesn't always put it together. But I do think that, and I don't want to say he deserves a chance to pitch, but he kind of deserves a chance to pitch. Does that make any sense? I mean, I don't take the guy. I mean, he pitched a good game two starts ago. Then he pitched a crappy game last week. Maybe he learned something from that. But I just think that he's a guy that's been in the rotation. He's been a better than average pitcher over the better part of two seasons. And that's what you got right now. I mean, you can't just throw him out and say we're going to bring in Mackenzie Gore or like you mentioned, Ryan Weathers or somebody like that. I think Paddock needs to pitch a game in this series, and obviously he's going to be on a short leash. I think anybody in this series is going to be on a short leash. So,
well, that's the thing. It's the playoffs, and anybody will. I don't even know what to say about that. First off, you're right. I mean, he deserves a start, but more than that, because it's the playoffs, and if you're not pitching well and a team has other options, well, hey, tough luck. But this team doesn't have other options. Ryan Weathers could well be on this roster, but it'll be to cover innings out of the bullpen.
And probably in a situation where they're not winning. I mean, let's be honest. Right. You're not going to bring Ryan Weathers in the game in the sixth inning. At least you wouldn't think that you would. Maybe they won't have a choice. I don't know. But okay, so let's go to the guy that everybody's talking about who's not named Chris Paddock or Denelson Lamet or Mike Clevinger, and that's Garrett Richards. Tell us why, and I think I understand it, why Garrett Richards is not being considered to start a game, and even or maybe he is being considered to start a game as sort of an opener. I think you addressed that in your story today. That's different than, say, being a 5 or 6 inning starting pitcher, which is really all that he would be anyway. But what's the situation with Garrett Richards? And of course, I got a tweet before we started taping here where it said that people were speculating he's in Jace Tingler's doghouse, which cracked me up because Jace Tingler pitched him in two big games last week against the Cardinals. So if you're going to be in the doghouse, then why are you pitching in big games? But anyway, tell me why Garrett Richards is not a member of the rotation in the postseason right now.
Yeah, I don't mean to be dismissive. I really don't. The idea that a man of Garrett Richards' character, you know, ability, and that kind of teammate and all that would be in Jace Tingler's doghouse it's irresponsible to even say. And then, as you pointed out, he did pitch. They moved him down to the bullpen, and as we discussed at the time, they felt that he was more suited to do that. They don't want to rock him back and forth, and I'm using words from someone within the organization there, because it's not as easy as it looks. Now, emergence, I mean, had it been for like 1 week, that's one thing. The man threw 64 pitches, 3 weeks ago? Yeah. You're not going to get much more than 3 or 4 innings out of him probably at this point. And I think that that's really the end of the story. They moved him down there. They can't suddenly say, hey, Garrett, you're going to go out and do 7 innings for us again. And, you know, they feel like he's worked really hard out there and gotten into the bullpen mentality. And they might have him 3 times in this series. And he could go 2 innings twice.
Right. Is he more valuable at this point in their situation as a guy that can pitch an inning or two 3 times, as opposed to a guy that might be able to pitch 4 innings once?
It's always easy. It's easy for us on the outside. Like, gosh, why wouldn't Joey Lucchese be a part of the 40-man player pool, right? Well, because they actually watched Joey Lucchese pitch. They actually know what they're doing. And they don't like Joey Lucchese out of the bullpen. And they don't like Joey Lucchese starting right now based on how he's pitched. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that for a second, that Mackenzie Gore and Ryan Weathers are in a playoff situation where, you know, punters aren't rebuilding anymore. Okay. Is there some benefit to those guys being here? Absolutely. That's not why they're here. They're here because if they're needed, they're going to pitch. And the Padres thought that they were a better option than Joey Lucchesi. What I'm saying is you don't just get to like plug and play pitchers in. Now, that said, I think the bigger question would be, and while I will, you know, say, hey, the Padres had no idea two of their starters were going down, their top two starters at that.
Yeah.
But I guess they could have kept Garrett Richards built up a little bit more. Now, you'd be trying to run dual courses. Again, yeah. What I just suggested is also a theory that sounds great, but they're trying to get Garrett Richards to be the most effective guy to face one batter, you know, at the end of an inning, or to face three batters or seven batters. Not trying to say, hey, Garrett, could you go learn this? But also, could you be a starter too? Mm-hmm. Then he stinks at both. And that's just the reality of it. I get that we are, and you know, I just questioned them on how they handled it. And that's all of our jobs, be it media, be it fans. These guys have done a pretty good job this year. And this argument could almost stop at, they lost to Nelson Lamet and Mike Clevinger in their last starts. It didn't happen 2 or 3 days or even a week after Garrett Richards went to the bullpen. It happened at the end of the season.
No, it's true. And I was, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say, I think the people who are making the decisions right now for the Padres, not that they shouldn't be questioned, because people, you guys out there, you and the other writers and media are asking the questions. But I think when you get the answers, the people who are giving the answers probably deserve the benefit of the doubt right now, based on the way that the Padres have played throughout this season, and the way that they've handled personnel, and most of all, the way that they handled things last week in a terribly difficult situation where they got two dreadful starts, you know, from their two starters, and still beat the Cardinals 2 out of 3, got to this point. So I think that, look, nobody wanted Craig Stammen to start the other day, and look what happened. He threw an inning and 2/3 and got the Padres off to a good start. And all those guys gave the Padres a chance to win. And that's the best you can hope for now. Now, is it going to be a lot tougher against the Dodgers? Of course it is. You can't even compare the two offenses between St. Louis and Los Angeles. But the Dodgers have some weaknesses. I mean, some of these left-handed hitters, Bellinger, Muncy, Peterson, these guys have not had great seasons. You know, Mookie Betts has, Corey Seager has, but guys are going to have to pitch. You know, again, it's going to be one of those things. Guys are going to have to pitch well, but the way the Padres set it up on Friday, whatever time they spent drawing it all out on whatever whiteboards they were using, they couldn't have drawn it up any better than it turned out on that particular night. And so these are the same guys who are going to be making the decisions this week. And they've proven to me anyway that, you know, I guess they kind of know what they're doing.
Well, and since they're basically playing the American League game, right? you can do that. You don't have to worry about where the pitcher is hitting. You don't have to take any defenders out. And the Padres defense played really well behind them. There was an error by Fernando Tatis Jr. that basically forced the only deviation from their plan, right? Yeah. That was, I know that it was Austin Adams that came in, and I can't remember who the pitcher was, but he was supposed to finish that inning, and they had to bring Austin Adams in. It was Tim Hill, I believe.
I think you're right.
And then the pick. But, of course, Fernando Tatis saved Tim Hill, who can't throw to second. He should throw to first base every single time. Tim Hill should. So there's a lot of things that you go, huh, yeah, it did work out. Not only all that, but they were playing the Cardinals. Now they have to play the Dodgers, and they have to do it for 2 more games. Right. I don't mean to be a realist here, but this is going to be tough, and especially if Mike Clevinger can't go. And you know what? Mike Clevinger, I don't see them pushing him to do game one and game five in short stints, you know?
No, you can't.
So I got to think that there's going to be 15 or 16 pitchers too. Again, this is not the National League anymore. As we remember it, they had 1, 2, 3, was it 4 players they didn't use? And that was in a three-game set.
Yeah, the three-game
Everything series. Pretty much worked out for them. But it wasn't like these tight games where they were trying to come back from one run down and maybe Jorge Mateo in or something like that. But I think they have some bench players to spare at this point, and they almost have to.
Right. And then, the other guy that has escaped, escaped some of the wrath of people because of Paddock is Zach Davies, who did not pitch well. But he did have at least one really good start a couple good starts against the Dodgers, as I remember, during the regular season. So that's a guy that they need to, come up this week. And I'm assuming he's going to pitch game two or game three, whatever.
I was told that it's I'm not sure. I just figured sort of if, like, let's say it's Clevinger, it was going to be Paddock. I was told that's not necessarily the case. Now, maybe they're just, playing games with me here. But, either two or three for Paddock if it's not one, and then Davies would be two or three. So, and then from there, just throw up a prayer.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to make a rhyme, but I did.
There you go. And the guys in the bullpen have had a rest. But I know one thing they're not going to be able to do. Not going to be able to throw guys like Pomerantz and Trevor Rosenthal five straight games or even four straight games. So there's going to have to be breaks thrown in there at some point. But look, the bullpen was – it's funny. They were thought at the beginning of the season that was going to be a huge strength of this team. And then the way the season went, especially the way it started, it was like, wow, what happened to the bullpen? These guys are a disaster. And then they end up saving the season, basically, in the St. Louis series. And along with, speaking of saving the series, you just posted a story before we started taping this on Fernando Tatis Jr., who clearly had the biggest hit of the series, just to sort of turn things around. And if I was a TV broadcaster, I would say he changed the momentum of the series, but I certainly would never say that. But he did change the way the series was going, and he gave the Padres a spark, and he gave them a chance with that home run. And of course, Machado followed right after that. And I mean, that three or four innings, I can't even, I wasn't at the ballpark like you were, but I can't even imagine what the noise would have been like had there been fans there for that stretch of that game.
There have been so many moments like that. And what I thought in that moment is they topped themselves again. All these times I thought, man, if there were fans here, and that would have been the one where, holy smokes, if they were still playing in, Qualcomm, I would have been worried the place was going to come down if fans were there for that.
I know.
Because you know what? Even with the fans on the rooftops and the balconies and the family members in the – it was electric. It was electric then, and nobody was there. So that was really something. And so the story was about what I thought was interesting. And Tatis, had a couple good quotes. He's not a man of many words, but he always comes through for you a little bit, just like he does on the field. And he understands the importance of October. And to me, and maybe it was just on social media, but certainly had he gone the whole series, the way he started the series, at the point where he came up with two guys on in the sixth inning in game two, he had been 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position in the series. And had that continued, the narrative afterward, as it already was starting in some corners of the interverse, was, he's been compared to Mike Trout in the regular season, and now he kind of looks like him in the postseason. Well, he flipped that right away. I don't even care what he does in this series. Fernando Tatis Jr. He came through for the Padres in a big way. They wouldn't even be playing in this series without him.
Right. And certainly there were other offensive heroes. I mean, obviously Machado, obviously Will Myers, the next night Hosmer with some big at bats, Cronenworth with a home run when they needed, just a little bit of insurance. And
hey, look, their offense here. I mean, so Clayton Kershaw has had a heck of a season, and wow, he had a real nice start there against the Brewers, right?
Yeah.
Padres did, they didn't hit him around, but they beat him last time they played him, and he has his history. He's game two starter. He has his playoff history. Walker Buehler has not been lights out. Who knows what this offense, obviously, I feel fairly certain here, five-game series. I know what happened last series. I feel fairly certain if the Padres win this series and are playing in the league championship series, man, did a lot of those players you just mentioned and Tommy Pham and all of them. The Padres offense was huge in the division series if the Padres advance.
No, without a doubt. And I, it's funny. I mean, the guy, the pitcher for the Dodgers that would worry me the most if I'm the Padres right now is Tony Gonsolin. He's the guy the Padres could not touch in the regular season in two starts. And he's got good numbers. I mean, it's not like he only pitches well against the Padres. I mean, he has good numbers, and I would expect to see him. I mean, Roberts hasn't said that he would pitch game three because he doesn't know who's going to be needed in games one and two. But he said it would either be Urias or Gonsolin or Dustin May. I think the logical guy is Gonsolin in that case. Dustin May has looked tremendous at times. Padres did get to him a little bit toward the end of that five-inning stretch that he pitched in the last game at Petco in a game the Dodgers won anyway. So, and the Dodger bullpen, I mean, you know, Kenley Jansen's been a bit shaky, but Roberts hasn't even committed to leaving him as the closer. You know, he's mentioned that he's got a couple of other guys who could step in there and close as well. So, I mean, look, it's going to be a challenge. The Padres are underdogs in the series for a reason. They would be underdogs even if Clevinger and Lamet were pitching. The price wouldn't be the same, but they would still be underdogs with those guys pitching. But look, that doesn't mean they can't win. And the Dodgers, if they can put some pressure on the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers could start getting that "oh, here we go again" type feeling with the there's a lot of pressure on the Dodgers with their postseason failures over the last 7 years. So the Padres are certainly not without hope, but they're going to need the bullpen to be what it was the last time, and they're going to need a couple of guys to start and pitch better than they did last time.
Yes, I think a sweep is the best way to go.
You think that would work?
Yeah, I think that would be the best way.
That would give them some good rest before the LCS. And
Clevinger, Paddock, Davies shut it down.
Right, and then you would stay in that room with that great hotel artwork that I see. That I see behind you, you could look at that for another week. So,
oh my gosh! Well, I can walk to the ballpark here. It's nice getting out in that Texas sun. The roof is expected to be open for the series. It'll be very nice around the what will be 8:38 here tomorrow night,
right?
And 8:08 for the following three games, if all three of those are necessary.
And when you were there earlier, we should talk about this real quick. The roof was closed, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think the roof was only open for like five games that the Rangers played there this year, something like that. I don't know what the numbers were. The Padres scored 20 runs in those two games. Obviously,
hit five home runs, two of them grand slams.
One of them on a 3-0 pitch that became rather famous.
Has anyone talked about that?
Yeah, you might remember.
It's
somebody wrote a story or 6,000 about
it's a big old ballpark.
But with the roof open and, you know, I guess it'll cool. I mean, it's supposed to be in the 80s during the day there, but it cools off at night. It won't look like Dodger Stadium did today on the 90 degree day and balls were flying out of there. But, you know, there's some good power hitters on both teams. And the one thing I was going to say about the Padres scoring 20 runs is, unfortunately for them, they don't get to face the Texas pitching staff this time. So I'm not sure they can score 20 runs in two games, but they're going to have to score. But look, they scored most of the season. So
they certainly did, and even against the Dodgers a few times. So they were a lot of tight games. And, you know, Chris Paddock did have one good game against them. They've never seen Clevinger. Davies had a couple good starts against them. So there we go. Because I only entered those three because that's the only three starters they have as far as we know right now.
Well, I mean, who knows? You could have, I mean, Craig Stammen could be out there for game four. And you know, who knows? Adrian Morahone or Mackenzie Gore comes in and pitches game five. And
the first pitcher to ever make his debut in the postseason. And I'm not talking about the Padres. I'm talking about all of Major League Baseball history, at least in the modern era. So
a little more at what? 8 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow? Is that when the Rockers are
we'll due? At least know who's on it at that point. And I do expect there would be a few or at least one maybe two surprises. I'm doing air quotes right now. I expect there to be extra pitchers, and it will be interesting because what they have is six guys, Jose Castillo, Mackenzie Gore, Ryan Weathers on and from the left, and right-handers, David Bednar, Luis Perdomo, and one other.
Michelle Baez.
Again, mostly coming out of the bullpen, certainly did here when he was in the majors a couple times this year, but even over at the alternate site, but a few innings could be an option there. So one of those six, maybe two of those six guys will be on the roster for this series. So we'll see in the morning and maybe right after this one posts. So this whole last 2 minutes will not be important, but we can't really tell the future, and certainly not with this team and its pitching, because they can't even tell the future.
That is true, and hope everyone enjoys the week, and looking forward to the games. And we'll be back with you sometime. We'll be back now. We'll put it this way: we'll be back next Monday for a podcast, no matter what happens this week. So yep. I guess we could even come back Friday if the worst case scenario happens, or even the best case scenario. Three game series, either way, could come back on Friday, but otherwise we'll definitely do this on Monday, and we'll either talk about the offseason or we'll talk about the NLCS. So enjoy your week down there.
Thanks, everybody.